Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
There's a very special, I feel, peculiar and wonderful spirit and attitude on our church today. Wonderful spirit of rejoicing and joy, and a call to serve. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, though I did not know what Steve was going to do today. I found out that he showed the video from Jimmy's Kitchen last week, and I didn't get to see it, so I said, please show it again. Let us see that. That's a major ministry that goes on every week. I have several things to say to you, all in this same vein, but I wish that you would just for a moment consider the word faithful. Whatever you do, whatever you're called to do, be faithful. Everybody say faithful. It's important that we do it faithfully. And I want to give you a big relief right now. I'm going to hit the relief valve. You should discover what brings you great joy and pursue that, not the thing that scares you or makes you feel burdened. Listen carefully to me. I very rarely pull rank, but I'm going to be your pastor for just a minute. I want you to listen to me. If it scares you, if it makes you nervous, or if you get a trembling, fearful, oh my God, I don't want to do that, but I have to because I have to serve, that is not what we're talking about. But if you see something and it stirs your heart and you go, I want to be a part of that, that's what you should do. Would everybody say amen? Amen. Do you understand? The entire, it seems to me, the spirit, the attitude, the message of Christianity that I was raised with was you have to do it whether you like it or not. Like serving the Lord was a pain and you got to do it whether you like it or not. Is there anybody here that did not want to serve the Lord when you were a teenager or you were young? Let me just see the hands. I said, I don't want anything to do with it. Thank you. But you're here now as an adult. Something happened in your head. Maybe you're still here out of pain. Let me relieve you. Don't come if you don't want to. That's simple. You say, well, I don't always want to. You have to stop being motivated by guilt and fear. And it's taken me, I've been here almost 17 years. I'm working to get that spirit off of you so that when you see what Steve is saying, you don't get this uptight feeling. We start talking about giving, people get nervous because they think, oh, they want their money. No, I want you to do what you feel in your spirit to do, what you feel good about doing. Then you'll do it with joy. Does that make sense? Father, I ask you right now on this very pivotal moment, in this moment of decision and ministry, that you would deliver us from the spirits of bondage and religion and create a joy in our hearts to serve you. We need a conversion. The church needs a conversion, and in Jesus' name, I'm asking you to continue your work in this place today. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to read while you're standing, Luke 7:11. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. You can be seated. The message that I'm going to preach to you today began 3 weeks ago. I spoke about it on a Sunday. And in 2 Samuel chapter 9, King David is established on his throne. The kingdom is at peace. David said, "Is there anyone left of the house of Jonathan that I can show kindness to?" Would you say kindness? David wanted to know if there's anybody he could show kindness to. I was stirred by that idea that God spoke of David as a man after his own heart, that it is somehow in the heart of God to be kind. Now, I know that's true. I know that God is good. He's a good God. But I was confused. Growing up, I heard the stories in the Old Testament, and it almost seemed to me that there were two gods in the Bible. There was a mean God that was upset in the Old Testament, and a nice God who would love us and give his life for us in the New Testament. And I realized that because we're confused about life and death and God's the ultimate plan, the big plan, that like our lives, we can be confused by the Bible. We can think that maybe when things are bad, God has left us. God has deserted us. Maybe you think that bad things happen because God is punishing us. Has that crossed your mind? You can't listen to much Christian television or radio without hearing that Katrina was God's judgment, or that that earthquake is God's judgment. And I declare to you, in the middle of all that, and I got to stay close to this microphone. My son told me, say, "Dad, when you start preaching, you step back. Stay in the microphone, Dad." I declare to you that I stand in that river of madness, and I'm opposed to that thinking. We serve a good God. Earthquakes happen. Storms happen. God's not judging this nation or some city, and God's not angry at our world. The Bible says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray, and every one of us turned to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Christian message is Jesus bore the punishment for all of us. Somebody say praise the Lord if you believe that. If you're trying to believe it, say amen. How's that? If you're trying to believe that, say amen. 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 Jesus bore the punishment for all of us. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he bore the punishment for all of us. When John the Baptist saw him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," I believe that. I believe that. We have been confused by Western theology, and we feel like God is against some people and he favors certain groups of people. That's craziness. He loves everybody, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You need to praise the Lord for that, because sometimes religion has caused you to feel like you've been excluded. Amen. Now, when Jesus came, he was the image of the invisible God. Jesus is God incarnate. Incarno. Greek, incarno, in the flesh. God in the flesh. Jesus was the example of God's heart in the flesh. I'm reading David. I got this story. He says, "Is there anybody I can be kind to?" They bring to him Jonathan's son, David's best friend who died in battle. They bring Mephibosheth to David. It's Jonathan's son who was crippled as a five-year-old boy. His nurse dropped him as she was fleeing the city at the word, at the news of Jonathan's death. He was a cripple. David finds that boy and brings him, he's a man now, and brings him into his house and lets Mephibosheth live as if he were one of the king's sons. It is a true parallel to God finding you in kindness. Who can I find that I can be good to? And he brings you from a place of tragedy and a place of brokenness and a place where you cannot get yourself out of it. You're crippled in your feet. You can't walk, you can't make it on your own. And he says, I'm going to bring you into my house, and I'm going to treat you like one of my children, and I'm going to feed you every day. I'm going to take care of you the rest of your life. And didn't Jesus say, do not worry, I'll take care of you. Look at the flowers. You can't even find clothes as pretty as that. Look at the birds. I'm going to feed you. It's the same thing that David said to Mephibosheth. It's the thing that God says to you. He's saying, in my heart, I'm going to be kind to you. And by God, there's a dark cloud of doubt that rests on Western theology that makes us think we have to earn that. You don't earn that. That comes from the heart of God. God is a good God. And I stand today saying to you that we've been deceived, and it has crushed our spirits. And someone talks about ministry and it scares you and you think, oh, I have to do this. I remember being told, don't tell God what you won't do because that's what he'll make you do. Come on, somebody help me. Don't say you won't go to Africa as a missionary because he'll call you to Africa. Yeah, no, that's not true. Listen to me. Listen to me. Oh, God, this is so important you hear this today. He will stir your heart and your emotions and your mind and show you a thing that you say, I can do that. Not what you can't do, not what you don't want to do. Steve said you get weary. I get weary doing this. If I don't get up in the morning and say thank you, I can start cussing early. I read a thing about alcohol. If you're going to drink all day, then you got to start early in the morning. If you're going to be thankful, if you're going to be at joy all day, you got to start early in the morning. I am declaring to you that God has gifted you, and it is his will to open your eyes to that thing so that you live a life of fulfillment, great joy. It doesn't include money. It doesn't include anybody else's acceptance. It's what you feel good about. It's when you lay down in bed at night and say, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Do you understand there's a deeper joy in that than the acceptance of people? And so I've been in this whole twisted thing as your pastor because there are certain things that are required of me by people's minds. This is what the pastor does. This is what his duties are. This is what he's supposed to do. And I disappoint a lot of people because I don't do what is supposed to be done. And yet I feel real good about myself because I'm doing what I feel like I'm supposed to do. So then I get in this war whether I'm supposed to please you or am I supposed to please God. Because I can't do both. Somebody help me. So I know the struggle, this war. And so I'm talking about David, and he's kind of Mephibosheth. And I read the story, John chapter 2. You should mark this down. It's the story of the first miracle. It's when Jesus turned water to wine. The Bible says in John chapter 2 that his mother came to him at a wedding and said, they have no more wine. John chapter 2. Jesus said, what have I got to do with that? It's not my time. She turns from his statement to the servants and said, do whatever he tells you to do. Somebody say that with me. Do whatever he tells you to do. Would you say that? Do whatever. Whatever he tells you to do. Don't try to do what I'm doing. Don't try to do what Steve's doing. Steve doesn't need to do what the cooks are doing. The Corsos don't need to come up here and try to preach. Nate doesn't need to try to do what Luke is doing. And Luke doesn't need to try to do what Steve. You do what he tells. Stay by the microphone, you to do. And he's so marvelous and he's so amazing to me that if you can't do it today, if you're strung out and confused, if you are all messed up by your failure, he will be patient with you and walk you through the madness until someday you're going to be doing exactly what you're called to do. And you can't get away from it. How many of you have ever backslid? I am the backslider. I'm him. I am as inconsistent as anybody I know. If it weren't for God, I would not be here. If I went on my emotions, if I went on the consistency of a paycheck, if I went on feeling good about it, no. I go because when I'm in trouble, he comes, picks me up, puts me back on my feet and says, now, do you really want to do that? I say, yeah, it's what I really want to do. Then this is what we're going to do. He's not making me do something I don't want to do. So Wednesday night, Nate gave us a little plug for Wednesday night. I'm talking about the kindness of God. Let me see the hands of you that were here Wednesday night. There's a few of you here. Does any one of you, okay, put your hands down. This is a very serious question. There's a reality going on here today that's not normal. I love this reality thing going on. All right, listen to me. I do not ask you to respond if you do not remember. But if you remember at the end of Wednesday night, The Spirit of the Lord was on us. We were praying. I prayed for you. And I became so overwhelmed with the thought that I said, God is going to make a way. God's going to open doors. You're going to see a need. And God's going to use you to fill that need. You're going to find a place for your kindness. God's going to open the door for you. Is there anybody that remembers that? Me talking about that? Do you, Gloria? Three or four of you? Because it was at the very end. And I had such a strong sense, and I'm going to say it again today. God wants to bring such joy into your life. He wants you to be so fulfilled that he's going to show you the stuff you want to do and let it expose you to it and let it be there so you can figure out whether you feel worthy or not worthy, whether you believe it's God or it's not God, whether it's really what you're supposed to do or somebody else supposed to do this. Is this really my call? He's going to let you go through all of that, but he's going to put in front of you opportunities for great joy. When I leave here on Sundays, I keep talking to myself going home. I am so pumped about our church. I preached to Terry about it. And so I'm going to bring you back, please, if we can go back to my verse, Luke chapter 7, verse 13, please. Jesus comes to the city, out of the gates come this funeral procession. And when the Lord saw this mother, who is a widow, and this is her only son, what does it say? When the Lord, everybody say, saw her. A need, something he can do, something that's right in his wheelhouse, something that's really his joy, is right in front of him. And when he saw it, his heart went out to her. So his heart's involved. That's David. I got to do something. And he said, don't cry. I love that. Don't cry. Can you hear him? Don't cry. And he touched the coffin. And he said, son, get up. And the boy sat up, started talking. The place went crazy. How many of you think you'd go nuts if at a funeral somebody got up out of the casket, climbed up out of that thing, and stood up on his feet and looked everybody in the eye and said, this is a great day. Would you be nuts? Would you be nutty? Come on, would you be crazy? Wouldn't you? That's a big deal. That's a big, big deal. So here's the process. He's going to let you see it. Please don't discount yourself. Tell somebody, give somebody a high five and say, do not discount yourself. Do not exclude yourself. Don't exclude yourself. Turn to somebody else. Say, don't exclude yourself. Look at me. Turn right back to the same two people and say, do not argue with the pastor. Do not argue. Do not argue with the pastor. Do not argue with God. Do not argue with the pastor. Do not argue with this message. God is going to show you something. He's going to let you see something, and it's going to be good, not bad. It's not going to be scary to you. It's going to be thrilling to you. It's going to make you say, I can do this. I want to do this. I had no idea Steve was going to bring this message to this church. No idea. It's why he said he would give me a chance to preach, because I'm telling you, Jesus saw it and he did something about it. Now, I said that on Wednesday night. I said, God's going to give you an opportunity. God's going to open a door to you. If you just watch, I prophesy to this church. I'm going to look you in the eye and say it in the middle so you don't forget, so that it's not the end of my message like Wednesday night. God is going to give you the opportunity to do something kind. He's going to make, I'm coming to my wife because she doesn't have a clue. Come here. She just went, you're right. That's so rare. I get that on us. That's so good.
We are sometimes. You want me to tell him? I swallowed my cert. Thank you. I remember now that he said that. I remember now that he said that on Wednesday, but the other day, I was on the back road past Walmart on Friday, coming back from lunch by myself in the 4Runner, which I rarely drive, obviously, because it has almost 400,000 miles on it, but I had the 4Runner, and I was alone, and I came by and I saw on on the opposite side of the street, I saw this girl in her 20s pushing an umbrella baby stroller with a little boy in it and a dog with his tongue hanging to the ground, following after. And there are no houses on that road. There's nowhere. I passed her, and then I thought, because I was in a hurry to get home, and I thought, where's she going? And that dog looked really thirsty. And an umbrella stroller is not a real sturdy stroller. You know, that's like a quick trip, not a marathon ride. So I turned around, which I never do. I don't answer my door to strangers. I mean, I'm a scaredy cat, just so you know. I don't answer my door to strangers. Never. Brenda, I'm sorry. But it's totally unlike me to do this. And so I turned around, I went back, you know, a mom, a baby, and a dog, it got me. So I turned around, I pulled over, and I said, can I help you? Where are you going? Can I take you there? And she said yes. And long story short, her car had broken down the night before, and I remember seeing it when I turned around. And she had walked with her baby, and her dog followed her. At least, she had been walking. I picked her up about 1:30. She had been walking since 9 o'clock that morning from her home in the country in Afton with a baby and a dog. And so I took her to her car, and I said, let me follow you home, because it started up, but we didn't even get a mile, and it overheated again. So she pulled over and parked it in the church, and the dog, everybody climbed in. And when I took her home and realized how far she walked, you know, I just realized God saw her and used me. He saw her. There's no way she could have walked back. There's no way. It was so far. It was four turns way in the country on a dead end. And she didn't have any water, nothing. And I just, you know, I thought about it all day, and I thought, you know how we know God sees the sparrow. He saw her. And use me, who I don't do that kind of thing. You know, my husband does all the time, but I personally don't. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And everybody was comfortable. The dog was so hot and tired. When we got to the church, there was a big puddle, and it got in it and took a drink, you know. And then she said, oh no, he can't get in your car. And I said, sure he can. This is my old car. I don't care, you know. And the dog just hopped in. It was crazy, but I it felt so good. And it made me realize, you know, God sees me. He sees all of you. And someday, I have three daughters, and if they're ever in that kind of situation, I just pray that someone will help them like I helped this young girl.
The Spirit of the Lord is on me, and I prophesy. He's going to let you see. What's so unique about that story is I've been married to my wife now for 35 years. And she has never done that. You say, well, isn't she a Christian? What Christian wouldn't do that? You and me, we just miss it. we drive on, we miss it. And we do stuff that we think other people will see. And that doesn't bring us the same sense of joy or life. And I know it's good. I love your applause. I like it when you say amen. Sometimes I even say amen. So I hear you say amen because I like you to say amen. And I am telling you that there is a revolution going on, especially in this church. We're not the only place. You're not the only one, but I want you to hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is in you. His Spirit is in you. You are the representation of God to the world. You are the body of Christ, and he is going to let you see what you can do. And when it touches your heart and moves you, like Jesus with that story, like this with Terry. I didn't say anything about this message. I didn't ask her this morning about it. I wanted to bring it up in front of everybody and so that it wasn't a setup. I didn't want it to be a setup. But I wanted to let you know that I felt strongly Wednesday night that the Lord is going to let you see. And you don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to think that you're a good Christian. Come on, somebody help me. You don't have to feel like you're holy. He's going to let you see, and his kindness is going to flow out of you, and you're going to say, that's God. And what it's going to do, it's going to make sense to you because you're going to say, if I did that for them, he'll do that for me. He's got his eye on them. And I asked Ashley without, I didn't set her up either. She didn't know it. I leaned over to her and said, would you sing His Eyes on the Sparrow? And Terry then said, well, let you know he's watching you. Come sing with you, Ashley.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion,
going to go with you. The Lord is going to watch over you. There will be times when you don't even know, but he saves you from tragedy or an accident or sickness, and you won't even know it. But he does it because he wants to do it, not because you applaud. There will be times when you look and say, God, help me. God, save me. You may look back today and know it. My message to you today is he is kind. He is full of mercy. He is only good. And the best thing that ever happens to a human being is when God flows through them. It's the highest high. It's the greatest purpose. It's when God is flowing through you. It may only take a moment. It may take a few minutes, like Terry driving that person. But when you see it, he's going to give you the opportunity to participate with his heart. And what you're going to feel is his heart beat with kindness. And it's going to be the thing that you're supposed to do. It's going to be your calling. It's going to be your finding. You're going to find yourself. And what I want you to realize is church is going to move outside these walls. And what the kingdom is outside these doors. And you're going to find yourself doing good stuff and kind things. And you're going to be a Christian. And what the world needs is more Christians, more people like Jesus. Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for the song Happy. I thank you for that word in the song that Ashley just sang. Because I'm happy. I know you're watching over us. I know that you're going to show us opportunities. And I'm asking you, Lord God, to let your joy, the great joy and the laughter of heaven, fill this church as we do the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.